The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Rithm. Hey, Watsonians. If you're in e-commerce, I wanted to speak to you about an event that you will not want to miss. Rithm Live, happening September 25th in New York City and October 9th in London. And it brings together top brands, retailers, and industry leaders for a full day of insights on the future of commerce. Learn more at www.rithm.com/NYC. That's www.rithum.com/NYC. It's September 15th, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today's show, we have a special episode on the podcast. We're actually previewing a new podcast from RMW Commerce, actually a YouTube exclusive called Oh Shift, where SaaS meets AI. In this week's episode, I interview Shailesh Kumar, the SVP of Engineering at Salesforce Commerce Cloud, to talk about the company's approach and pilots in the world of AI and Model Context Protocol, or MCP. To be clear, this is not any kind of sponsored interview. It's just an exploration of how the platforms are treating AI, and I've asked them all to come on the program for the record, are approaching AI and MCP and what implications they have for brands and merchants. Take a listen. You're listening to the Oh Shift podcast, a production of RMW Commerce. This show is for software leaders that are navigating the transition from a traditional software company to one that's powered by AI.
Salesforce is definitely investing in areas which are AI specific to agents, specific to integrations. We will not be able to build all the agents that the world needs. I have a 14-year-old son and he can build agents. And the pace of innovation is extremely high and we should not fight it, but adopt it.
Welcome to the Oh Shift podcast, where we explore how real software companies are evolving in an AI-first world without rewriting everything from scratch. I'm your host, Rick Watson, founder of RMW Commerce, and each week I speak with CEOs, CTOs, and other leaders in the trenches, kind of navigating the messy, fascinating shift to AI across marketing, product engineering, and products. This week is kind of a special episode where I'm speaking with Shailesh Kumar, the Senior Vice President of Engineering at Commerce Cloud and Retail at Salesforce. We speak with him about Model Context Protocol, or MCP, a standard that's been quickly emerging, introduced by Anthropic, about how models can connect with external data sources. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much, Shailesh.
Thank you, Rick.
Your background is super interesting. It's almost like you can't escape Salesforce. Like every company you go to either gets acquired by Salesforce or you're at a subsidiary of Salesforce. Can you talk about your history a little bit?
So right now I'm SVP of Engineering at Salesforce. I lead engineering for Commerce Cloud. Been here for almost 10 months now. Prior to this, I was at ClickUp. Was the CTO for ClickUp for 3 years. Prior to that, I was at MuleSoft, came through the MuleSoft acquisition, ran product engineering for MuleSoft, and been at Tableau and Informatica before then. I'm actually very fortunate to have worked at companies that are now part of Salesforce right. Family. Salesforce is a great place to be. So I think it's Salesforce definitely investing in areas which are future looking, investing in areas that are specific to data, specific to AI, specific to agents, specific to integrations. And a lot of things that you see in the AI world will lean on data and integrations, because until you put those things together, it's very difficult to get a lot of great insights using any agents.
Right. And can you talk about your scope at Salesforce? You said Commerce Cloud, like what does that involve?
So Commerce Cloud and Retail Cloud involves our B2C product, which is Demandware, our B2B product, our order management systems product, and our POS product, which is our point of sale product that came through an acquisition of a company we did last September called Bridge Spring. Mm-hmm. So I lead engineering for all these four products.
Got it. No, it makes sense. I guess let's jump right into this AI conversation. And everyone's already speaking about it. You know, I think we can all assume that most people know what ChatGPT and Claude is and why an LLM is useful. Many people may not be familiar with the term Model Context Protocol, or MCP. What problem does it solve?
So if you think of MCP from a developer perspective, the one way to think of MCP is like APIs. So sometime back when there were no agents, there were, you know, you would build UIs on top of the APIs which systems exposes. And UI was your experience layer where, you know, you click on things and you do your business cases from there. Now we have agents. Agents are doing different actions and they are more than less deterministic nature because based on your actions and based on your context, they do certain specific things. And you're in the new world, agents becomes your experience and UI layer, and MCPs become your APIs. MCPs become your API layer. That's how, you know, that's how I tell people to think about it coming from the old world to the new world, that agents is your new UI and MCP is your new API. That's how I look at it. MCP gives you a lot of exposure to how to interact data, to business systems, to systems in general, for you to build agents on top of it.
Right.
And you can have multiple MCPs to build agents. You can click, you can, you know, stitch them together. And it's actually much easier to build agents now using MCPs. Like, I think MCP has been a fantastic attribution to the agentic world, especially from Anthropic. Hats off to them.
Yeah, and I screenshotted a picture from the video Salesforce release, which shows a little bit like how an agent could connect to multiple MCP servers, you know, rather than doing custom integrations, you know. So makes a lot of sense. Why is Salesforce investing in MCP capabilities?
So if you think about it from a Salesforce perspective, MCP is big because Salesforce is not just a set of products, but it's also a platform itself. And as we have lots and lots of Salesforce developers building custom applications on top of our platform. And in future, they'll build custom agents on top of our platform. And for them to build custom agents, they need access to MCPs that will help them stitch them together, even across different Salesforce entities, and stitch them together with other entities outside of Salesforce, the one you showed right now. And that's the nature of it. We will not be able to build all the agents that the world needs. We need Salesforce developers and everyone around to build agents on top of the MCPs that we expose.
Right. And the Salesforce, when you think about the idea that Salesforce is releasing MCP support across Salesforce, you have a specific pilot within your group. Can you talk about the pilot?
So as I think we are getting into a lot of uncharted territory across the industry. inside Commerce Cloud, we release an MCP pilot primarily to get a lot of information and insights on how people want to use MCP and what types of agents people want to build. And that's where, in the broader context of Salesforce MCP, we released an MCP pilot focused on shopper, focused on product listing, focused on search. And we want to see how people want to use this MCP and get feedback in terms of agents they want to build. How do they want to see MCP, or in terms of commerce in general, retail coming together, given that, you know, commerce is composable. Many of our customers use not only us, but they use other products around our, you know, Commerce Cloud to stitch them and build a commerce and e-com platform. And we want to see how they want to use our MCP along with other products and platforms and really build a composable commerce agent. So right now we're learning. I think this is an amazing learning phase, and our pilot is primarily focused on that.
Got it. And I hear a lot of some of the statements that you're speaking about, including like building agents. And so it makes me think it's a developer focused offering. Is it for merchants, shoppers, or developers?
I think right now it is for developers. And in future, as we learn and as we understand how people are going to use this MCP, we may be able to give more higher level of abstractions on top of MCP for merchants to use. But right now it is focused on developers because you need to understand how to stitch things together. MCP is like API, so you need to understand how to call these, how to do prompt engineering and tuning. And some of them might be, some of them are more focused for developers right now. However, I don't think it'll remain to developers. I think the number of developers going to explode in the world, where everyone will be a developer. So yes, it will still be targeted towards the developer, but I think merchants will also become developers. That's one way to look at it.
That's fascinating. Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
I think development in general, product development, will not be a forte or a niche of few people. It'll get democratized. It is getting democratized, especially with MCP. It's much easier to build agents. Now, I have a 14-year-old son, and he can build agents like no one's business. So that's where we are headed towards that. I think a lot of merchants will be able to build their own agents on top of these MCPs. So that the term development and developers will get a lot more democratized, where people, everyone will be able to build products and softwares and agents. So that's where I think that the number of developers will increase. Like if you look at the GitHub accounts, the number of GitHub accounts and projects has just exploded in the last couple of years. Yeah. And I think it'll only explode.
Yeah, sounds like mostly from your son. Can you talk to me about people building their own MCP servers, connecting it to their own agents versus the public LLMs? How does Salesforce view that difference?
I think it's complementary because public LLMs are great for like for these foundational models, right? Or public LLMs are great for asking generic questions. And even at some level, they're also releasing few things which are good for business workflow. However, if you are really looking for a deterministic business workflow to be done, and you have a specific idea in mind, I think generic purpose LLMs and even operators, they still fall short. So there are a lot of these businesses, a lot of the businesses, merchants and shoppers, they want deterministic output in terms of what they want to do. And in a non-deterministic world, and that's where generic purpose LLMs might fall short. At least they're falling short today. Now, tomorrow, it's an evolving place, so hard to predict. But right now, MCPs have an amazing place because this is where merchants get control. Because if you think of merchants, how they look at commerce, they want control on how their e-com sites shows up, what personalized content shows up, how the contents is displayed and laid out. And they can't get that with LLMs, but they can get that with they can get that control with MCPs. So I think they're going to like MCPs way more than generic purpose LLMs.
Got it. And you used a few words in there. I want to make sure I understand properly and that the audience understand as well. Is custom built agents or agents built by your businesses a fit within a deterministic workflow versus a probabilistic one? Can you explain that distinction and what's so important? What does deterministic workflow mean or deterministic output in particular? And why is that so critical for businesses?
So if you, I mean, deterministic in before AI came in, everything that you saw was more deterministic nature. It means that there was code behind the scene that was run in a very deterministic nature. If that code was run 10 times, you'll get the exact same output all the 10 times. In non-deterministic flow, the output of that is non-deterministic. It means that you may get different outputs based on very slight variations, which was not possible before. And that's what scares businesses today. That, okay, what if the customer is asked for, you know, boots and they see something else? So that's where the business gets scared about the non-deterministic nature of the generic purpose LLMs. And they like the non-deterministic nature in some aspects because it expands the horizon.
Yeah, it's that creative. There's creativity, right?
Very high creativity, but they want some deterministic nature in that they don't, you know, it has to play within some bounds. Right. And with generic purpose LLMs, you can't define those bounds. But if you give the MCPs to the merchants, it is up to them to define the bounds. And that's where I think even our Agentforce we are releasing across Salesforce is giving them that bounds to play with them in the builder itself. So you can set the bounds and constraints. And that's what businesses love. Like otherwise, they get slightly afraid or a little bit unsure of releasing such agents.
Yeah. And this is plays perfectly in my next question. I mean, that there's obviously a lot of terminology and acronyms related to software development. So I just wanted to unpack the term Agentforce, which is, I see Matthew McConaughey in the commercials, but it doesn't tell me what it is. Like, what is Agentforce?
Agentforce is our platform, the agentic platform that we are releasing to let people build agents on top of our technology, all our entities like Commerce Cloud, Marketing Cloud, Sales, Service, all of your use cases. As well as a part of Agentforce, we will have a lot of agents that will come out of the box, like SDR, service agent, and other agents that you will be able to use right out of the box with your Salesforce implementations. So that's Agentforce. It's not just the agents itself, but it's also the platform on which you can build agents. You can define constraints that, you know what, I want my agent to have within these constraints. I do not want X or Y or Z to happen. So for example, if I'm returning an object, I want that to go to a light agent for if it fits above a certain category or above a certain price point. So you can operate and define those constraints and tune those things in our agentic platform. And that's what Agentforce is for us. I think it's going to be game changing. Like Agentforce across the board will be game changing for Salesforce and every customer of ours. It'll truly define a different way of interacting with Salesforce.
Yeah, and I picked this out of your video as well. And some of this constraints you're mentioning were encoded into the instructions, which I think in the past would be like some kind of if-then rules that you would have to code, you know, hard code in a UI, but now it's a little bit more natural language based that you can say, if I interact with this data set, I want to make sure, what do I do next? Or what are the constraints I put around it?
And that makes development much faster because you're right. Earlier, you used to write Apex code, a lot of code to define those things. Now it's a simple prompt. And the amount of time it takes to build an agent is significantly lower. So that's what I was saying The number of agents, the number of use cases now that our agent force can just expose in the amount of time it takes is just enormous, exponential value.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And let's kind of, I guess, keep the conversation moving to the pilot itself. When you started the pilot, which is for retail, Commerce Cloud and retail, what were your goals for it? Were they qualitative or quantitative?
So if I look at when we started the whole agentic journey, we were looking to figure out how customers will use agents in the commerce world. And when Anthropic came up with MCP, it was amazing good that gave us a pattern.
It's like not that long ago, like just five, 6 months ago almost.
Yes. I think MCP itself, just it has been massive release and everyone has adopted MCP across the industry. So that's where hats off to Anthropic. I think it's really underrated innovation that has happened in the agent world. But when MCP came out, that was a great vehicle for us to launch MCPs on top of our APIs, build schema on top of our APIs, give some dimensions so that we can learn from how people want to build agents. MCP, the pilot, the main goal for our MCP pilot is to understand and learn how people are going to use and what use cases people see light up. Because still, retail is going through its own transformation. Commerce is going through its own transformation in the agentic world. And I don't think anyone knows how agentic commerce would look like. So MCP is a great vehicle for us to not only empower our developers, but also learn from them as to what are they going to do with it. So that's I'm very excited about this release and just learning about what people are going to do with it.
Yeah, so this is a true kind of like greenfield situation. It's not like we're doing this because we think it's going to increase revenue by this. This is like, we don't know what we don't know. So let's put it in the hands of customers and see what they do with it.
Yes. And that's where I think it is every merchant, every developer, and every shopper is going to define what agentic commerce would look like.
Mm. Yeah, that's fascinating. Which is interesting because there are so many people who seem to be very sure about what agentic is going to look like. And you're kind of taking the opposite point of view, which is like, we're not, nobody, how could anyone know for sure these concepts didn't exist 6 months ago? Let's follow where the customer wants to lead us.
Yes.
What do you think is unique about Salesforce's implementation of MCP, in the world?
If you look at Salesforce, just in general, our platform is omnichannel, supports multiple brands, has payments, a lot of very, very complex and widespread capabilities. And our MCP, the way our MCP is unique is that it gives you all those capabilities. So you can go all the way from product discovery to checkout. And that's and multi-region and multi-currency. So there's a lot of capability in it that you can make very powerful agents on top of it. So that's what makes it very unique, that the amount of capabilities that we're going to expose and we have exposed is very wide ranging. And that'll help our customers build very powerful agents. And we will learn from that. So that's what makes our platform very unique. We also have, you can also stitch it with other MCPs that we have inside Salesforce. So you can go from Marketing Cloud to Commerce Cloud. So you can start a campaign. You can build agents that starts campaigns and then goes to Commerce Cloud. So the stitching part is equally important. And that's where the whole MCP ecosystem for Salesforce is going to be much more unique than any other company or any other vendor in the world.
Talk to me about the stitching component. What do you mean?
If you look at MCPs, I mean, that's where you're looking at the MCP across Salesforce that we're releasing. We are releasing individual MCPs per cloud or per product line. However, you're also letting our agents stitch these MCPs. So for example, if you want to go from commerce to service, so for example, you bought, let's say you use commerce, you built an agent on top of Commerce Cloud and bought a shirt, and you want to return a shirt and talk to a service agent on top of it, you can build something there. So that's where you can stitch purchase as well as post-purchase experience on an agent if you have both Service Cloud and Commerce Cloud and you are using our MCPs. And then stitching will be very easy for you because we do share a lot of context internally. So the profile and the unified profile will be shared for the shopper. So it makes it a lot easier. And that's where stitching will become a lot more easier because when you talk about retail, they think of marketing to commerce to service and order management, all of them in the same context and not very separately. So having them, an ability to stitch these MCPs will be very unique, not only unique, but very powerful.
Yeah. And look, you're talking about a few different capabilities here. You're talking about developers, the ability to create agents, the ability to create agents that have guardrails around them with these instructions to be able to go between multiple different major domains like marketing, commerce, to service. These are some pretty powerful capabilities. Talk to me about the use case, because this is not like a small business is not going to do this. Certainly not out of the box. You're like, you don't have a development team. And so who do you think is going to adopt this compared to like a big company with a development team versus a software vendor versus like a global system integrator type company?
I think that initially you would see more global system integrators adopt it. But as it gets easier, I would say very quickly, you will see even small businesses adopt it. And that's what I was saying is that MCP makes it extremely easy to build agents. So even stitching these MCPs is very easy. As you know, the kind of the barriers of the builder pattern gets broken by probably this global size, you will see a lot more even small companies able to build these agents very, very quickly on top of stitching these MCPs. And I don't think it'll take many years. I think we are probably a few months or maybe a few quarters out. Things are moving much faster than any time before. So maybe it'll start with global SIs or companies with large development teams. Very quickly, it'll get adopted by a larger set of developers.
No, this is great. Yeah, I appreciate like this, you know, primer, frankly, of, you know, MCP, but also like how Salesforce is thinking about it, adoption, goals, learning. Is there anything else that you think the audience who is like commerce practitioners, software vendors, agencies, a lot of people, you know, our goal is to help people listen and learn to what's happening. What do you think they can learn about how Salesforce is looking at the problem that they might be able to apply to your businesses, even if they're not your customer?
I think that in general, I would say we should stop thinking in silos now, especially with agents. I think a lot more silos are getting broken and will be broken. So that's one nugget that I have seen and we have seen inside Salesforce. And it's extremely important. As we are seeing people build agents, people are building very, very powerful agents. So one is the silos are getting broken. The development pace is exponential right now. So if you think something is absolutely impossible, that becomes possible 3 months later.
Right.
So the pace of innovation is extremely high. So every vendor is catching up. Many of our customers are catching up. Having an open mind always helps. So my only piece of nugget that I give to myself and I'll say everyone is the first one, no more silos. I think the businesses are not looking at it. The agent is not looking at it. As MCPs definitely accelerates that, like breaking those silos for sure. And then the pace of innovation is extremely high and we should not fight it, but adopt it. And we should embrace it. The pace of innovation, that will be massively differentiating for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. And I really appreciate all your insight today, Shailesh. And, you know, thanks for coming on the podcast to help our audience get smarter.
I'm here to learn. I'm learning from the MCP, so great learning.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the OShift podcast, a production of RMW Commerce. If you're wrestling with how to adopt AI inside your software company, send me a message on LinkedIn, DM me. I'd love to hear your story and maybe feature it on a show. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast?
Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.